If you would, take your Bibles back out once again. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 as we start our time of worship in the Word.
New series here as we finished chapter 19 last Sunday. King Jesus' thousand-year reign is the topic of Revelation chapter 20. And I just want to say that, you know, we went through 18 and 19 in Revelation. It was the judgment of God, judgment of God, judgment of God. And that is wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to set things straight. Hey, buddy, he's going to set things straight, but that's not all he's going to do. He's going to make things wonderful for those who are faithful to Jesus Christ. And Revelation 20 through 21 or 22 is about this wonderful time that we are going to have of blessing. And so I don't know what things are on your mind, what things are weighing you down this morning, but I want you to know that as we study Revelation chapter 20, I hope that seeing the blessing that you will one day receive will relieve just a little bit of that burden. Amen and amen. Our main lesson that we've got with us this morning is this: the thousand-year reign of King Jesus marks a point in history when the world is no longer bothered by Satan. Woohoo! Woohoo! It's a time of blessing for the chosen and the faithful. Now, if you miss what I just read, it's behind me. It's going to be there a little bit more. You can catch up, okay? And if you have an untimely woohoo, we know what happened to you, okay? Well, during the thousand-year reign of Christ, we're in for something wonderful. And that's an understatement. But we are in for something wonderful as God's redeemed people. Listen to how one theologian describes that point in history when Jesus is reigning for a thousand years. This is how he describes that time. Imagine a world dominated by righteousness and godliness. A world where there is no injustice, where no court ever renders an unjust verdict, and where everyone is treated fairly. Imagine a world where what is true and right and noble marks every aspect of life, including personal relationships, commerce, education, and government. Imagine a world where there is complete, total, enforced, and permanent peace, where joy abounds and good health prevails, so much so that people live for hundreds of years. Imagine a world where the curse is removed, where the environment is restored to the pristine purity of the Garden of Eden, where peace reigns even in the animal kingdom. Imagine a world ruled by a perfect, glorious ruler who instantly and firmly deals with sin. Church family, this is a picture of the world and life in that world during Jesus' thousand-year reign. One person described it as paradise regained. And here's some good news. I'll see you there. Hallelujah. I'll see you there. I'll see you there. That's our future. And that's our future home during the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen. Now look with me at verses 1 through 3 as we learn about that wonderful future home that is in store for us. And I want you to notice here in these verses what will not be there. Point number one is this: Satan will be bound during King Jesus' thousand-year reign. Now if you don't understand what I'm saying is, one of the things that we will be so blessed about is that for the first time in our lives, other than when we die and go to heaven, when we come back to earth, we'll live on our earth without Satan. Hallelujah. Look with me. Verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer under the 1,000 years until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Well, once again, this is the Word of God, and thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this, your word. This is a calm, soothing word to your people, especially during this time of turmoil in the world today. Lord, we know that things will get better, and we praise you. And we praise you that we know that for sure and for certain because the Holy Bible, your word, tells us so. And as we have this high view of Scripture, we know that what you tell us will be, will be. And we praise you. So, Father, use this word in our lives today to encourage us to remain faithful to you no matter what's going on around us. So, Father, today, just give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Well, we are moving further into the future. Now we're post 7-year tribulation. That's where we are in the future and in the history of the earth. And I want you to notice what John tells us in verse 1. He says, "Then I saw." Now that's indicative. That's a phrase that is used throughout the book of Revelation to move us forward in the story of the Revelation. And so we're being moved forward here to the next thing that John, to the next part of his vision that he's given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what we know is that the events of chapter 20 are to come about after the events of chapters 18 and 19 have taken place after the tribulation. So in other words, after the tribulation, that 7-year period, after the hallelujah chorus of heaven we've learned about, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, after Jesus' second advent, and after the battle of Armageddon, the earth is ready for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords to reign for what I believe is a literal 1,000-year span upon the earth. But before he does, we're shown this vision that John got, and this angel comes from heaven, and the angel, this mighty angel, will bound the God of this world, as the Bible calls him, the prince of the power of the air, as the Bible calls him, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. This angel that we're reading about in verse 1 through 3 will bound Satan, the ancient dragon, the devil, in the bottomless pit and seal it off. He'll bound him with a chain in the bottomless pit and seal it off for 1,000 years. Hallelujah and amen. Remember, Satan is a very powerful, angelic, and created being. He's one of the most powerful angels that God ever created. But here what we're seeing is he's not too powerful that he can't be bound. He's not that powerful. The Bible tells us here that he can be bound, that he will be bound for 1,000 years during Jesus' millennial reign here on earth. You see, what we learn about Satan here is that he is not omniscient, he is not omnipotent, and he is not omnipresent. When he is bound in the pit for 1,000 years, he is entirely bound in the pit for 1,000 years. Nothing, no essence of him can come out of that. He is not omnipotent because he can't overpower the angel that binds him there. He can't break the chain that God has made, so to speak, that keeps him in this pit. And so Satan, although that he is very powerful, and we shouldn't take him for granted, we must remember that he is merely a created being like we are, and that God is ultimately in control. Now, can you imagine just for a moment a world without Satan? Can you imagine? Can you imagine a world without the influence that Satan has. Can you imagine, just for a moment, all the evil that won't take place because Satan is bound? Hallelujah and amen. No longer can a person say, as one theologian said, the devil made me do it. Can't say that anymore, not during the thousand-year reign. Now notice, his place of temporary imprisonment is the bottomless pit. Maybe in your translation of the Bible, you have the word abyss. Now, I want to make a distinction here. The abyss and the bottomless pit is not hell, right? That's not the place of hell. Hell is an eternal place where nothing ever gets out of that is placed inside of it. And the Bible calls it the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. That's eternal hell. Now, as we know, the lake of fire is the place of this eternal hell where one day Satan will be doomed to stay forever and ever, and he will join the first beast and the second beast, the false prophet and the Antichrist. He will join them there. Now, how do we know it's Satan, church family? How do we know the Bible is talking about Satan? Well, for the main fact, in verse 2, that's who it says it's talking about. Look in verse 2. It says, "And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan." So these are all names for Lucifer. These are all names for the devil. He's known as the ancient serpent. He's known as the dragon here in Revelation. He's known as the devil. And these all describe Satan, our ancient foe. Now, how long will Satan be in this bottomless pit, chained, sealed? How long will he be there? Well, the Bible says in verse 2 that he'll be bound there for 1,000 years. Now, that word 1,000 years translated from the Greek is used, I believe, 6 times here in Revelation 20. Now, that tells me anyway, that's an indication to me that this is not to be taken symbolically, but to be taken literally, that this is a literal span of 1,000 years that the devil will be in this bottomless pit. So it's the first of 6 references to this same Greek word that refers to the millennium. So I look and I say, well, that's got to be literal then. Now look with me in verse 3. "And they threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while." Now, here's what we know is the future of Satan, the devil, the ancient dragon. This is what we know. We know that, number one, he will be bound in the abyss. Number two, we know that he will no longer be able to deceive the nations once he is bound in that bottomless pit and sealed up. That's what we take from it being sealed up. He has no more influence in the world. Now, and so he will be bound for a millennium, that is 1,000 years. And the next thing that we can take from verse 3 is that he will be released for a short period of time after the 1,000-year reigns, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So in other words, Satan has an expiration date, y'all. He has an expiration date. And it is God who has set that expiration date, and God tells us when it is, right here in Revelation chapter 20. Also, we can take from that is he's on God's leash. He can only do the harm that God ordains and allows him to do. He can't do anything more, And he won't do anything less. But he is bound by God to only do what God has ordained and has allowed him to do. In other words, he is under the sovereign rule and sovereign reign of the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that is good news. That is good news. And while this angel is cursed, and he is an angel of darkness, don't ever take Satan lightly. He's our adversary, and he prowls around like a ferocious lion waiting to pounce on us. He is, in some sense, a threat to God's people, and we need to be careful of that. But on the other hand, we can't be so fearful of that we're no good to God because we know that in the end, God is the one who is in control of Satan, and it's not the other way around. And church family, that's good news. That is real good news. So Satan will be bound during King Jesus' thousand-year reign. That's part of the blessedness for God's people during this millennial reign. Now, the next thing that we see is this. The chosen and faithful will be blessed during King Jesus' thousand-year reign. Now, look with me at verses 4 through 6. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. And also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshiped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Church family, this is the way the Bible shows us a wonderful picture of our blessedness and our hope in the hope that we have in the future that God has planned and has governed for us to be a part of during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. So what do we know about this blessedness? Well, first, we're told of those believers who would be raised during the 1,000-year reign. Now, look at verse 4. It says this, "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed." So up until now, we've known about 24 elders who sit on thrones around the throne of God. Those 24 elders sit there, and they're there permanently around the throne of God. Now, it's a question mark in our understanding of Scripture whether they're human beings or whether they're some kind of created being. But perhaps, as one theologian says, when we see the fact that saints will be placed upon thrones, that perhaps those 24 elders are human beings on those thrones. Now, I can't say anything definitively about who sits upon those thrones. Some people do, and some people feel like they can. But just perhaps they are 24 human beings sitting around the throne of God. What a wonderful view, don't you think? Well, anyway, the first part of verse 4, as I understand it anyway, refers to the Old Testament saints and the church age saints. It says, "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed." Now, obviously, this is a different group of saints than what is described further in verse 4 and verse 5. So I take it then that the Old Testament saints and the church age saints will be resurrected in this first resurrection at Jesus' second advent. And we will be ruled to do specific things. That is, we'll be judges, we'll be royalty, and we'll be priests. We'll do those things during the 1,000 years. That's our titles, if you will. And those titles have certain responsibilities, as we know from Scripture. And so, you and I will be raised during the first resurrection. We will not see the second death. And for 1,000 years, we will rule on thrones the earth. I guess I'll just have to wait. Thank you. If that doesn't trigger a praise hallelujah, I'm not sure what will. That's good news, isn't it? That's a blessed state that we're going to live in during the 1,000-year reign. I don't know about you, but that puts a little extra step in my get along. It helps me to get going and stay going today, because I know one day things are going to get a little easier. They're going to get a little better. Well, that's wrong. They're going to get a whole lot better. And I'll see you there. Not as your preacher. I won't be preaching any more messages. At least I don't think I will. That was a soft one coming at you guys. Y'all should have swung that one out of the park. That's our blessed future. Now notice with me the second part of verse 4. Look at this. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. Now, I think that's talking about a second group of saints. I think that's talking about the saints who were martyred from all ages. That's what I believe it's talking about. The saints that were martyred from all ages, except the age of the tribulation. Now, why would you say that, Pastor? Well, because let's keep reading. And those who had not worshiped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So that's a third group. Now, obviously, the Old Testament saints, the church age saints, and the martyred saints from all the ages except the tribulation couldn't bear the mark of the beast, because that hadn't come about yet in history. So this third group is specifically speaking about the tribulation Christians, those Christians who came to faith during the tribulation, the 1,044 Jewish evangelists, and all of the other Jews and Gentiles that came to faith in Jesus Christ, that refused to take the mark of the beast on their hand or their forehead, refused to bend the knee and worship the Antichrist. All of these people who stayed true to the Word of God and would not worship the image of the beast, would not commit that adulterous sin, is this third group of saints. So who are the saints that are going to become, who are going to be resurrected this first resurrection? Who are they? All of us. Every saint. Every saint. You mean to tell me Moses is going to be there? Yep. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. All the saints. Peter. All of them. You name it. Somebody speak a saint's name here. Paul. Who else? Elijah. Who else? John. Who else? Who? Abraham. Now, this is what I want you to say. When I say, say your name, say your name, say your name, David, we're going to be rubbing shoulders with the saints of all the ages. Now that is a blessing that is in store for all God's people. Hallelujah and amen. That's a good future, don't you think, church family? That's at least part of what our future is going to look like. So then we come to this other statement that is made in verse 4 about what's going to be our blessed estate, what it's going to be like. And in another part of verse 4, it says, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, I believe, just to make it clear, that this is a physical resurrection of some sort. We will be physically raised. And this is not the first resurrection that's taken place, right? What other resurrections have taken place? Jesus, first and foremost. What else? You remember when Jesus died, what happened? Matthew's gospel records it. The saints of old came to life and were walking around. And who else? Come forth, Lazarus. I'm going to get to see Lazarus too. That's going to be interesting. Because I know he's going to say, I didn't want to come back, but Jesus made me. We're going to see all of them. And we're going to reign with Christ. So that means that we're given our own personal throne of some sort. And we're going to rule and reign with Christ. You know, that's amazing to me that he would trust me to rule and reign with him. Hallelujah. And that's what we're all going to be doing. That's what we're all going to be doing after this physical resurrection for 1,000 years. Now let's put it all together. Verse 4 is a fulfillment of what has been talked about in Scripture all along. Jesus said in Matthew 19:28, Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul says, or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? In Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, the one who conquers and keeps my work until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. It sounds like a kingly authority. And then Revelation 5:10, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. So one day believers will be resurrected, bodily resurrection, to sit on thrones, and will judge the nations from those thrones for 1,000 years during Jesus' millennial reign. And that is the blessed reward for the saints. But not all will be resurrected. Did you notice that at this point in history? Look at verse 5. The Bible says, the rest of the dead. Now, if all the saints have been resurrected, who could only be the rest of the dead? You know, unbelievers. Unbelievers. So this is what the Bible says. The rest of the dead, that is unbelievers, did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection, speaking of the resurrection of the saints. So this speaks of two things to us. Number one, some future day, after the battle of Armageddon has been won, all the saints of all the ages will have a bodily resurrection, and they will live on earth for 1,000 years with Christ Jesus, and they'll rule without any influence of Satan whatsoever being present. And this is called what the Bible says is the first resurrection, the resurrection of the saints. Secondly, the Bible tells us the rest of humanity, which are the inhabitants of the earth, as Revelation has talked about them, the unbelievers from all the ages will not experience this first resurrection. There'll only be saints around. I know, isn't that good? Praise the Lord. And we'll be on our best behavior. Praise the Lord. So now these unbelievers, as the Bible tells us, will be resurrected after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And that's when they'll stand before the great white throne judgment of God. And they will be judged to everlasting hell in the lake of fire that burns forever. That's their fate. So, but at this point in history, they will not experience this resurrection, but they will experience the second death and be eternally separated from God in hell. But as Scripture tells us, believers are the ones who are blessed. Verse 6 says this, blessed and holy is the one. Did you hear that word? Blessed. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. If you're sharing in the first resurrection, raise your hand, please. So that means you're what? Blessed and holy. Blessed and holy. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. So verse 6 announces the fifth of the seven Beatitudes and Revelations, and they're pointed right towards all the saints of all the ages. Now, what will the blessed do? Why are we so blessed? The Bible says because we will be priests of God and of Christ, and we will reign with him for 1,000 years. That's what the Bible tells us. And so first, what the Bible says is you are blessed because you are declared holy. Now, we are holy. That is, we are set apart specifically for God. And to be holy is to be made that way through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we're holy, because we bear his righteousness, because we have no righteousness of our own. And so one great perk is that we'll share in this first resurrection. And secondly, we're blessed because not only are we holy, but we will not partake in the second death as unbelievers will. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 says this about the second death. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. So the second death is the lake of fire that burns forever. It's eternal hell. As one theologian says, a comforting truth is that no true child of God will ever face God's eternal wrath in the lake of fire that burns forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So one last reason we're blessed. The Bible says this: we will be priests of God and of Christ, and we will reign with him for 1,000 years. So as priests, we will, without any worries, without any distractions, without any fear, worship God. That's what priests do. We will worship the Lord. What will we be doing that 1,000 years? We'll be ruling and reigning the nations and worshiping the Lord. That's what we'll be doing. And there will be no wicked influence of Satan. There will be no wicked influence of any demonic activity or anything like that. And we'll also reign over the earth. We will make sure that justice, just justice, will be known throughout all the earth. We won't have elected officials to do that. We'll all get to do that. And that's something that is a wonderful part of our future. Now, I know that since we're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and Him alone, we will receive all of these blessings for sure and for certain. But He is the only way to receive these kinds of blessings. Well, we looked at some facts about what the 1,000-year reign will look at today. First, we saw that Satan won't be a part of it. Secondly, we saw that the chosen, the faithful, are going to be blessed. And next week when we come back, we're going to see that after the 1,000-year reign, Satan's going to be released for a short period of time, but then he's going to be beaten once and for all by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I want to share a story with you in closing. One of God's faithful missionaries, his name was Alan Gardner, you probably know about him, experienced many physical difficulties and hardships throughout his service as a missionary to the Lord. Despite his troubles, he said, quote, "While God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me," end quote. In 1851, at the age of 57, he died of disease and starvation while serving at Picton Island on the tip of South America. When his body was found, his diary was not far from him, and it bore some record of how he died there towards the end, of hunger, of thirsts, of physical wounds, and even experienced loneliness. But the last entry in his journal, which was barely legible because of his shaky hand, read this: "I am overwhelmed with the sense of the goodness of God," end quote. As we have read Revelation and as we have studied it for a while now, and we come to this point in Revelation where we're looking at the 1,000-year reign of Christ, I hope that you're overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. As we go through our week this week, let's remember our future blessing and let that carry us through the hardships of our day, knowing that things are going to get a little easier, they're going to get a little brighter, and that everything's going to be okay. And then wherever you're at, just speak a little hallelujah and amen, because you know that you are among the blessed. Hallelujah and amen. And the reason we're among the blessed is because we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in a personal, saving way. He is, as he said, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. He's the ticket to get on the train. And my question for you this morning, as we get ready to leave: do you know him in a personal, saving way? And have you made that public profession of faith, that He is your Lord, He is your Savior, and you trust Him for the forgiveness of your sins, and you repent? Is there anyone here today that needs to make that known? If so, I encourage you to come forward during the invitation time as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning, Whiter Than Snow, hymn 653. Let's stand together.